You are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Glowacki. I'm the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. So today I want to go through rewards and consequences. And rewards and consequences when it comes to potty training, but also when it comes to, in general, parenting. Rewards and consequences are important because parents utilize them. And I am not a fan of using them while potty training, but a lot of people do use them. And so a lot of times parents come to me kind of with their resolve shaken and say, well, you know, my friend used M&Ms and her kid potty trained effortlessly. That may be true. But what many people don't see is what can go wrong with rewards, right? Because nobody puts their messes up on social media saying, okay, we started with M&Ms as a reward for potty training, and now it's out of control and we're in family therapy. And I am not exaggerating. So the problem with rewards and consequences is a lot of times they have to escalate to be effective. If a little is good, more is better, right? So there are really great natural consequences and sort of natural rewards. So a word we have to bring up is positive reinforcement. So a lot of people will say, well, I just want to positively reinforce the behavior. That's great. Let's dissect that word though for a minute, okay? When we talk about positive reinforcement, we're talking about highlighting the positive as opposed to highlighting the negative. For example, I'm Gen X. I always give my age for reference. So I'm 55. My parents didn't know about positive reinforcement and or didn't care, right? So Gen X was the benign neglect generation. So if I got a report card that was all A's and one C, my parents would punish me for the C or just harp on the C. Like, what were you doing? You didn't do the right thing, blah, 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 right? So we'd get in trouble for the bad thing and no credit at all for the A's. It was like, well, yeah, you're supposed to get A's. So we didn't get any positive reinforcement for the A's. We got negative reinforcement for the C's, right? So that's how parenting worked. You highlighted the bad because you wanted to fix the bad, yes? So then we learned about positive reinforcement that, like, hey, if you highlight the good, it might boost some intrinsic motivation, intrinsic inside. We want motivation to come from the person, the child, not from the dangling carrot. Yes? So somewhere along the way, positive reinforcement became about rewards. And we are learning so much about this. A great book is called Punished by Rewards by Alfie Kohn. Meg Thompson Behavior, she's on Instagram, and I interviewed her on my other podcast. She wants to abolish all the in-class reward systems because they're not intrinsically motivating, but also for the child who doesn't get the reward, the flip side is that is a punishment, right? And a lot of times we're talking about kids who may not be capable of doing the certain things. I just posted on Instagram about rewards and poop withholding. So parents try to give rewards when a child is poop withholding, and the child is not capable of releasing the poop. It's a muscular reaction to anxiety, and so the child can't. So if you offer a dangling carrot for something a child is not yet capable of doing, then it's a punishment when they don't get that, right? And so that's one of the negatives. Now, I know a lot of the world potty trains with rewards, and good for them. I am against it because I don't think at this age, which should be 2 to maybe 3, that you should be having to motivate your child with a dangling carrot. Yes, I also don't think we reward socialized behavior. We don't reward when a child sleeps through the night. We shouldn't be rewarding every time the child helps around the house. They should be helping with chores just because that's part of living in the house. So we get on slippery slope though, because we know right now, you know, people really complain about an entitled generation and the kids coming up are really entitled, but that happens if you keep offering rewards for every little thing the child does, right? So positive reinforcement is just highlighting, like, thank you so much for being such a great helper. I am, you know, it's so helpful for me when you pick up your laundry. That's positive reinforcement. Negative would be all you ever do is leave your laundry on the floor. You never do anything. Do you see? So that's the difference. Not saying, oh, you get a sticker on your chart. So when it comes to potty training, I think it can end up in a very messy place because the child starts getting activated by the reward. And pretty soon things go awry because the reward gets out of control and you're not even potty training anymore. And I really do. I see the messes. Again, nobody sees the messes. You just see the highlight reels on social media or the times it worked for a parent, but sometimes it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work colossally. So that's why I like to avoid it. I also think it just smacks of dog training. Like even dog trainers don't use treats for potty training. That's not how you do it. Right? And so it's like, do this and you get that. I think there's just better ways to go about it. Now, there are certain circumstances where we may pull in a reward only in these very specific instances where, say, you're a week into potty training, you're not kind of making any progress and you're like, oh, I don't know if this kid's not getting it, or I don't know if they're just kind of being a little pain in the butt, because this is the age of individuation and being very contrary to what you, the parent, want, right? So in those instances when it looks like, I can't really tell if this kid's just not getting it or its behavior, in those cases, we might do a day of rewards. Yeah, like, okay, let's try it. Because if a kid can do it for an M&M, right, a mini M&M, if they can do it, then we know, okay, now we're dealing with behavior. So now we have to be a little firmer in our boundaries and our tone and our voice and the way we're doing things. I think that's very helpful, but we'd want to get in and out of that, right? So that's when maybe a reward could be helpful. I'd say 100% of my private clients who come to me, like they, you know, their child struggled. They used my book, Okra Potty Training, and their child struggled. And so they capitulated to using rewards and they go, oh, you know, they'll apologize. They'll say, oh my God, I know I'm not supposed to, but I started offering M&Ms. And I'm like, no, of course you tried to do everything you could, but how's that working? And they say, well, it works sometimes. No, if a reward system is going to work, it works all the time. If it doesn't work all the time, it isn't working. Okay. Again, I don't want rewards at all. I just think they're unnecessary. And I think they set a kid up for expecting to get paid for everything they do, right? It's a form of payment or bribery. And so I don't think that's good. But the problem is, again, that they have to escalate. Yes. And so I would just stay away from them in general. I think they create a disaster. Now, again, a small high five, a fist bump. I think dads are really good with positive reinforcement because they have a lower pitch and they tend to not use as many words as moms. So it comes out like really meaningful. It's like, yeah, man, nice. Nice be in the potty and just move on with your day. Now, again, with positive reinforcement, it doesn't have to be effusive. It doesn't have to be like, oh my God, you did a pee on the potty. You're such a big boy. It shouldn't be like that. It should be like, hey, nice. You must feel good. Let's move on. Yeah. Now with consequences are code word for punishment, right? Like that started about 15 years ago. People started saying consequences instead of I punished my child, right? But a consequence comes in two forms. There are natural consequences and there are external consequences. Now I prefer natural consequences because for everything we do, there is a consequence. For every action we take, there is an equal or greater action or reaction from another person, right? And so I do think that there are natural consequences. A natural consequence would be when you're potty training, would be the child was, say, on screen time and had an accident because they were distracted. The natural consequence is like, okay, let's shut off the TV or the iPad because, you know, you're having a hard time focusing. That would be a natural consequence. That is not a punishment. That it's not you peed, so now you don't get television and you don't get an iPad. That's not what's going on. It's because they got distracted, right? And so the natural consequence is that. When we switch from block 3 to 4, underpants, right? I always say, like, if a child loves their undies, little girls especially love their little panties, if you put the panties on and they pee in the panties, that underpants have to go away. It's a natural consequence. It is not a punishment. It's not saying you peed in them, therefore you can't have them. We say, oh, okay, your muscle memory is still really strong with a diaper, so the underpants have to go away for a little while. Now, the child, that might be motivating for the child because they want the underpants, but we're not using it in that context. When you start potty training, if you go to events, if you go to the playground and your child wets their pants, a natural consequence is, okay, we have to go home. If I pee my pants at the trampoline park, I have to go home. These are natural consequences because that will reinforce, okay, when you're at the playground, you do have to pay attention to this. Yes. And of course you shouldn't be going to the playground right away. You should be going, when you feel like you're over the major hump of potty training. So those are the natural consequences. What I find is parents are trying to, in general, I see this in general in parenting, not just potty training. Parents use consequences willy-nilly and they use them inappropriately. So when your child is, say, acting a fool at the grocery store, and I hear this at least once every time I go to any sort of market, I hear a parent say, hey, you better behave or you're going to get a timeout when we go home. That is the most ineffective way to give a consequence, an external consequence, right? That is not cool because number one, the consequence is far too delayed. Like say you're really tied to rewarding consequences and you think they're great, at least use them effectively, which is immediately. When you're talking about a toddler, an extended reward or consequence that's far out isn't going to hold any weight. They're not going to connect the dots. Remember that your average three-year-old, their brain functions about your average dog, okay? And of course, we have way more nuances to personality and they're going to far surpass a dog's brain, but they are very similar. So think of how you would talk to a dog. Is a dog, if you get angry at your dog and you punish them later, the dog has no effing clue what you're talking about. I have this great story. I live in the woods and I live next to the best sledding in my town. It's a state land and it's the super great hills. And so, when it snows, all the kids are there. So when Maverick was a little puppy, he's really good. He kind of free ranges in our woods. We have a lot of land and he, comes back, regularly. And so I was in the kitchen cooking, it was snowing and, I couldn't see him in the yard. So I went out and I was like, Maverick, Maverick. And he didn't come, which was really unusual. So I listen, I'm quiet. You know how when it snows, it's quiet. I'm listening. And, I can hear kids laughing and I can hear them sledding, and it's in a distance. So I was like, oh my God, stupid dog. He's over there. I know he just went to find the kids. So I get in my truck. I go down the road a little bit. The parking lot's full of like parents with hot chocolate. And I was like, hey, has anybody seen a rambunctious black puppy? And they were like, oh yeah, he's sledding with the kids. I go down and this dog is having the time of his life. He's like out of a freaking Lifetime movie, right? Or a Hallmark Christmas movie. He's sledding with the kids. They're having a blast with him. So I'm like, Maverick, get over here, So he ignores me. And so finally he comes to me head hanging. We get in my truck and he is like apologizing as much as a dog can apologize. I guess head is hanging. He's putting his head against me and I'm mad. I'm mad as a hornet. So we get out of the car and I'm like, that was bad. And I can see him already looking again towards the hill with the kids. And I'm like, you get in the house right now. And I'm not yelling, but I'm being very, very sharp. And he is not he's not cooperating. He's ignoring me because he's like, he doesn't understand. That was so 5 minutes ago that he was in trouble because he left the house because he was playing with the kids. Like he's a dog. He's like, I was having a great time. You came and interrupted it. That's toddler thinking, you guys. So I realized then I was like, oh my God, I'm being not nice to him. So I was like, Maverick, come on. You're a good boy. Came right to me. We came in the house and sat on my lap for a while. So I think it's a great story to highlight how much kids don't connect the consequence. Like you can't stay mad at them and you can't give them a consequence, like in the market, a timeout when we go home, And likewise, if you're going to be in the market and give them, candy to keep them quiet and well-behaved, know that you're setting up something, right? When something happens like that with toddlers, you do it once or twice and it's law. So now you're going to be tied to that. So we would ideally want to fix the situation such that your child isn't overstimulated when you go into the market. So they're calm, cool, and collected. You would set up how it's going to go, at the beginning. But those are the things that you don't want to give external consequences when they're not appropriate. And an external consequence that's appropriate, like say your child runs out into the street Yes, that might be an immediate, like, okay, you don't get the, I don't know, the iPad today, you know, or you, there may be an external consequence because the situation is so dire. I'm trying to think because I don't really believe in these and use them in my own parenting. It's a little tough for me, but like, how about, you know, even a child who won't hold your hand in the parking lot, we grab their hand and we say, no, you have to listen to me. It's not really a consequence, but we're going to like hang on to them. If you have a runner, you might buy one of those harnesses with like a leash on it. And I know there's like people who hate those, but some parents have runners and the kids are dangerous. That is a natural consequence. I'm sorry, you're going to be by my side, or I'm going to lock you in the stroller, or I'm going to put this on you and hold tight to you, because we need that, because the ramifications, you can't just give a child, you know, free rein in the parking lot, right? The consequences are too dire. Likewise, I don't think it would be appropriate to, it's really hard to reward the positive concept. So it'd be really hard to reward, oh, you didn't run in the parking lot, therefore I'm going to give you an M&M. That's kind of tricky. This gets really tricky with potty training. So I'll say, parents will tell me, oh, I was rewarding her when she stays dry. And I was like, that's the weirdest thing for a little kid. That's a huge concept. I stayed dry. And so now I'm getting a reward. It's far better, you know, if you are super tied to potty training, or we are utilizing it for one day, it's got to be almost immediate. Like, oh, you peed, here's the reward. Again, I don't like it, but if you think that's the way to go, at least use it in a way that's a little more effective. So a lot of parents use sticker charts, and they use these for chores, and they use these for potty training. Your average 2 or 3-year-old does not have the brain development to track the idea that if I do X, Y, and Z for so many days, I will get a bigger reward. So if you want to give your kid a sticker when they pee, I'm fine with it. And actually, that's quite effective in a daycare situation. If you're going to give them a hand stamp, something minimal, that's not too jacking them up. Like candy sets off a dopamine, not just because of the candy, but like, ooh, it's candy, right? So if it's a sticker or a hand stamp or something like that, I think that's cool. The idea of a chart though, so if we look at a chart, the chart is meant to, you mark every day that you did this thing, whether it's chores or whether it's potty training or whatever, and you get a bigger reward. If you stay dry for 7 days, you'll get pick something out of the toy store, the dollar store. It's the sticker itself isn't a problem. And if you want to make a little poster and give your kid a sticker so they have a visual, that's cool. I think it's useless, really. I think a sticker isn't highly motivating to change behavior. And I have to reiterate this, your average 2 or 3-year-old will not have the concept of X amount of days for a bigger reward. That is a huge mathematical concept for somebody so young. I know it doesn't seem huge to us, but for them it is. And I hear parents say, oh, well, it worked. No, my kid got it. No, they didn't. You got lucky. They really don't. They don't have that capacity yet. I mean, unless you have a mathematical genius. So like a little Sheldon Cooper, right? So that's the problem with reward charts. So I just don't love them. And they're really ineffective if your child is struggling with pee withholding, poop withholding, and or night training. Please do not use any sort of reward or consequence when you are night training and your child is struggling, because it is unconscious peeing. So they're getting a reward and flip-flop consequence for something they absolutely cannot control. And that's not fair. Same thing with poop withholding, same thing with pee withholding. And I understand that you can get backed into a corner, your child's pee withholding, it's the third day of potty training, you're not sure what to do. So you say, hey, why don't you pee? And if you pee, I'll give you an M&M. I understand how that works. But understand this, if it doesn't work, it's not working. So don't continue to do it, because again, the flip side is if they can't do it, that just seems like a punishment. Yes? All right. I hope that clarifies everything about rewards. And again, consequences and rewards have to amp up to be effective. And so we don't want to do that again with consequences, because you end up saying really crazy shit when that happens. You end up saying things like, I've literally heard this, you're not coming to Disney with us. Like, you're really going to leave your 3-year-old home from Disney because of their behavior? Like, that's nonsense. It's not happening. So just by nature, we end up escalating it into saying ridiculous things, which then we don't mean, which then we lose all our parenting power, right? Because if we start just spouting things that we don't mean or we don't follow through with, then we lose all parental power. Your kids know you don't mean what you say. And that's when behavior really starts to escalate and can get out of control. So make sure you mean what you say. Make sure the boundary is set. Yeah. If you do this, okay, you need to pee before getting on the iPad. No, I don't have to pee. Okay, if you pee your pants while watching the iPad, you can't watch the iPad anymore. Yes, so I've set up the natural consequence. I have set it up. I would argue in the early days of potty training, the first few months, that you just hold off the activity. You hold off the iPad. You say, well, okay, let me know when you pee. And then yes, absolutely, you can watch your program if that's something you guys do. And a lot of parents get that mixed up because that's not a bribe. A bribe is, I'll let you watch the iPad if you pee. That's a bribe. But okay, no. Just let me know if you were going to let your child watch an episode of something, they need to pee beforehand. Yeah. And you're holding off the activity. So that's that difference. And again, parents get that wildly confused too. So bribing, rewards, consequences, it's a tricky topic, but just make sure you have good boundaries. You lay out what your expectations are to your child in very clear terms and follow through in an immediate way with either the external consequence or the natural consequence. All right. As always, I appreciate you guys listening. Have a great day and rock on.